Good evening. My name is Doug Burley, and welcome to BBS Late Night. You're listening to Flying Higher. Flying Higher is a unique and enlightening program that will help inspire us all to a new altitude, high above the turbulence of limiting beliefs and the dark storms of negativity that sometimes cloud our daily lives. Your host for Flying Higher, Gina E. Jones, is the founder of Seen the Light Productions and author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Every Sunday, Gina and her special guests share with listeners around the world various ways to lighten up and raise their vibrational levels, ultimately raising their consciousness as well. Gina presents special guest authors and humanitarian light workers who lovingly tap into the very essence of our beings to help us redirect our flight path towards our highest potential. They will share with you what's moving through them, heart to heart, soul to soul. And now, here's Gina.
Oh, thank you, Doug. Thanks for joining us this evening as we explore the power of light, a new time for a new consciousness. And our guest this evening is Atori, who we are contacting in Paris. Is Atori on the line with us now?
I am.
Okay, great. Let me just go ahead and introduce you. I understand it's quite early there.
It is.
Yes. Well, once in a while, ladies and gentlemen, there's an amazing opportunity that arises for us to experience an acceleration in our journey to remembering the divine being that we all are. And Atori's is going to be here in Southern California starting next week, and it's going to present that kind of opportunity. Atori is 100% dedicated to his service of assisting fellow journeyers to anchor light within themselves, and he does so without ego or pretense. And he is journeying from South America to Southeast Asia and from the Pacific and throughout Eastern and Central Europe. Atori is a transmitter of universal love and provides everyone with a tangible experience of who they are and how magnificent they are. And we are pleased to have you tonight with us from Paris. So
welcome, Atori,
to Flying Higher here on BBS Radio Late Night. And just welcome you here. And I understand you are going to be here next week starting a campaign or an attunement tour here in Southern California. So we look forward to that.
Yes, that's right.
You're originally from Oceania, is that that's correct?
Yes. When we say Oceania, I'm referring, of course, to New Zealand. But, yes, from the South Pacific. But of course, with the work, it's important to follow the light. So that's obviously takes me to many different places, countries, and cities, and so forth.
Now, I understand you've had a series of powerful and profound life experiences that brought you close contact with consciousness from other dimensions, and has given you a profound understanding of your mission here on Earth. And how did these life-death experiences change your view of human life here and beyond?
Yes. I think that in the childhood, of course, I think as children we often experience a very close connection to the source, to the light, and indeed to God. That was certainly the case for me. In my late adolescence, I had an incident, we could say an initiation, and that experience, because of the intensity of it, the essence of it was very intense and very, in a sense, life-threatening, but more actually, it was about embracing life rather than embracing death, and although the physicality, my physical body was very close to death in terms of the because of the nature of the injuries, but in that moment of the impact, we could say, I was transported. I went into what is called an altered state, and during that moment, or it was about 20 to 30 minutes, in an altered state, while I was lying on the ground waiting for an ambulance to arrive, I encountered what we call ascended masters. I call them the elders, but generally we call them the ascended masters. And there were seven of them. And, they wanted to talk to me, and I, of course, had nothing else to do at that time, so it seemed like a good idea. And we had a discussion, really, about my mission, about service, about serving the light, serving God, and serving humanity. And I was asked to, if I would take up a certain position, and it was very profound. It was one of those moments when it's certainly life-changing, and of course I agreed to everything they said. It seems to me to be, perfect, really. And so following that initiation or that meeting and regaining consciousness a few weeks later after the accident or the initiation, from that moment on, the work or the service, the mission has been constant, and I've been very aware of it. And that was when I was 19 when that happened. So from that moment onwards, there has been no doubt, no backward steps, we could say, in terms of the work. Does that give you some idea?
Yes, indeed. Now, you're traveling globally as a teacher and a speaker, a writer, a healer, and a spiritual counselor. And because of your experience, was there a master plan that you had was shown to you for humanity? And if so, why is it that we're not all aware of this? Or where are we going?
Right.
What is your mission?
Okay, I'm just sort of adjusting to
the time frame here. Did you sign a contract while you were there?
Excuse me?
No, I was just joking. I said, did you actually sign a contract?
Well, kind of I did, actually. In a sense, I did. I'm just trying to get my bearings with you. It's a little bit weird because I'm standing in the street here, and it's like... it's sort of adjusting because as you said earlier, it's very early here. There is a divine plan for humanity, and I think deep down everyone is aware of it on one level. It's just that there are very different levels of consciousness right now. So if we look at it from the third dimensional viewpoint, it does seem as if many people are not aware of it, and that's simply because their consciousness has not reached that point where they can sort of tap into that plan. But there certainly is one. On a personal level, my mission in terms of bringing light to people or inspiring, illuminating people to open to the light helps them see this plan. As the Master Jesus said, a lot of this journey has to do with faith, because faith is the key that unlocks some of the doors in the mansion house of God, which of course are very important for us to go into. So, and right now we see that humanity really is a very critical point in our evolution, our expansion, and really it is showtime. So for me, I think now more than ever, actually, to make people aware of the light within them and around them is vital, and it's going to take some time. Obviously, we still, generally speaking, humanity still tends to want to continue to experience limitation, and that's all part of it too. The divine plan will unfold. It's just a question of a lot of it's to do with timing, and we have to want it. You have to want peace. If we want, for instance, if we want to manifest peace on the planet, then of course we have to manifest peace within ourselves. So it comes from within first, and so this is the essence really of it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the theme for the show this evening, and we've talked about and things that I've read on your material, you talk about the power of light. What
Yes.
exactly do you mean when you talk about the power of light? Because light obviously comes in all different forms, and specifically, what is it that you're referring to?
Yeah, the power of light is if we open ourselves up to this power, then the light can bring to us or manifest for us basically anything we want. Now, that can be on a physical level. It can be material, certainly, spiritually. So the power of the light, in that sense, what I'm referring to, the fact that if we surrender to the light, then there's nothing that the light cannot do for us nor bring to us. It's an omnipresent, all-powerful, all-seeing vibration, energy, field. And when we cross the line, when we, in a sense, leave our free will and move to the light, then anything is possible for us, and not only for ourselves, but also, too, for our brothers and sisters and for everyone. So mm-hmm. There is no power like it. That, in a sense, is what I'm referring to.
Mm-hmm. Now, with this master plan, and you just touched on free will, and that's the question I always like to ask everybody, you know, what is free will? Where does that come into play? If, in fact, there is a master plan, how, as an individual, what variations does free will really give us? How does that play out in our day-to-day lives?
Okay, yeah, well, you certainly brought up an interesting question, and this one is something that everyone has to, in a sense, go through. Free will does operate here on the planet, yes, that's true. Certainly in third dimension you see it displayed in all its various shapes, forms, and color. But you find as you raise your consciousness, as you get higher and higher into the light, as you begin to experience more fourth and indeed fifth dimensional realities or life, free will becomes less and less important. And in the fifth dimension, or what is called ascended states, there isn't any free will. So it only operates in a third dimensional field. So as we heal and as we expand our consciousness, we find that the free will subsides, and eventually, of course, as we become whole and complete, we find that we only have one will, that is the will of God, which is connected to us from the heart. Free will, my impression of free will existentially is that it's a mental construct. It's not a construct of the heart. It's more a construct of the mind. And we've needed it to experience limitation. But, of course, as we let go of limitation, we also find that we let go of free will. But you have to, and that, of course, brings us to the question of surrender. Free will for many people is still very important, and it is quite difficult to relinquish it because it's been a construct that we've been using for many, many lifetimes. So, but as we surrender to the heart, to love, we find that it becomes easy and easy to let go of. But, it's all part of the healing and letting go of it. It's a step-by-step process, and that's why the slow, steady movement toward the light is often recommended, because it becomes easier to let go of these old constructs and old belief systems.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to...
Does that help?
Yes, indeed. Doug's going to do a little station break here for us, just to bring up to date everybody who's just joined us.
Okay. Yes, this is Doug. Hey, comment ça va? You're in Paris. Do you speak any French, Atori?
Bonjour, monsieur. I would have to say my French is still rather infantile. I am practicing, of course, but it needs a lot of improvement, I would have to say.
Well, I think you'll do very well. Just wanted to let
Thank
all
you.
Of our listeners know that they're listening to BBS Late Night, Flying Higher with Gina E. Jones. And for those of you listening in the United States, you can call in and ask questions to Gina and Atori. And the number for that is toll-free 877-270-8714. And if you're calling internationally, the prefix is 1 for the U.S., and the number is 530-413-4515. Back to you, Gina.
Okay. back to the free will, Tori, I sort of laugh about that concept because I'm still trying to grasp exactly how that plays out in my life because occasionally I'll look at my astrology or my numerology.
I apologize.
And all of that, and it's exactly what happened that day or exactly how things have unfolded or it's my personality to a T. It's like, well, where's the
free will? I hate to interrupt you. Can you hear me, Jenna? Jenna?
Yes.
I hate to interrupt, but you're using the 800 line for the European guest.
Okay.
So they would have to call the other numbers just underneath that, and then they'll get in.
Okay, well, then maybe we need to repeat the numbers. If you're calling,
sure.
You would want to call on 530-413-4515. Or 530-876-9026.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, so yeah, that's what I was just laughing about. It's like, okay, where does my free will play out when I see that basically my life seems to be already scripted out? So I sort of chuckle trying to grasp what this free will concept is. But I don't know if you can add anything to that, or we can move on.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's free will. When you ask someone to relinquish their free will, you know, that is quite confronting to people, and I see that a lot. People get quite hot under the collar when you talk about it. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, in terms of service, as you begin to serve more and more the inner self, and you become aware that service is really the mode par excellence to inner peace. The service to your inner self, service to the light, to God, service to humanity, that becomes, it takes on a very powerful form for you, and that becomes the direction, the guide, the lead, just as the light becomes the protector, the support, the guide too, very much so. It just becomes, Gina, just becomes less and less important. And
mm-hmm.
there are scripts, yes, and much of that is to do with the refined science of astrology and numerology. But the divine script, well, it has its own form too, its own color, and that when we follow that script, eventually we will find ourselves dancing in the blue kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, how important is the light to our own personal growth, and where does the light originate?
Okay. How important it is to our growth? Well, in spirituality, there has been, it seems to me, there has been quite an emphasis on knowledge, on the acquirement of knowledge, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Most people now have their sacred libraries, and I think certainly never before as we have now the knowledge that is available and the sacred knowledge that is available is phenomenal, really.
Mm-hmm.
And most people have their sacred libraries, and that has been fine, the acquirement of knowledge. But there's no, in order to experience heaven, the ascended state, it's not knowledge that's required, it's love. Therefore, mm-hmm. To move into that ascended state or to move into heaven, the open heart with a heart full of love is the requirement. And by following the light, this is how we experience more and more love, because light actually comes from love. Love being the source, being God. God utilizes light to construct, to create. So light comes from love, actually. So,
okay.
Light is the hand of God. Yeah?
Right. Okay.
Did that make sense for you?
Yes. Oh, yes. Very much indeed. I cover a lot of this kind of stuff in my book. So
right.
Definitely resonates and makes sense. Now, you travel a great deal around the world anchoring light. maybe you can explain to our listeners and even to myself what exactly you're doing when you're using that term.
Yes, well, in third dimension, light requires structure to be able to operate, to permeate a field that needs to be embedded, in a sense. It needs to be anchored, and this is very much so in third dimension. So the human body, for instance, is an ideal design for light, and we are, in fact, divinely designed to hold an unlimited amount of light at any given point in time. So we also see, too, that light is anchored to certain sacred structures around the planet, and we see that. You see that in Egypt and Peru and Mexico, well, many, many areas of the planet. But in cities, of course, which are also our mystery schools, the light needs to be anchored in order for it to be able to go about its work and infiltrate the consciousness of a particular group of people, depending, of course, upon the city that they're in. So with each city that I travel to, what I attempt to do is bring the light down and, in a sense, anchor it to the earth in that particular field. And that's done really through conscious alignments between myself and the light, the source, and by walking through the streets and really through meditation and prayer, one is able to bring down anchor the light in terms of service. Yes. So very important. It's not always easy, of course. It requires a certain amount of focus. It's very important that we as servants or light workers focus on bringing down the light and anchoring it, not only to ourselves, but to Mother Earth, wherever we might be.
Do you find that there are areas on the planet that are more resistant or harder to actually do this anchoring?
That's a very good question, Gina. Yes, absolutely. There are the resistance changes according to the different country, the different field that you're in, the different city. Some resistance is more palpable, we could say, in some cities than others. I wouldn't like to say, of course it changes. For instance, to give you an example of Europe, I find that the further east I go, the less resistance there is to the light, and the further west I go, the more resistance there is, which is kind of paradoxical, really, but that's how it seems to be. So, for instance, Paris, let me see now, in terms of Paris, it's quite difficult. They call this the City of Lights, which is interesting because there is actually quite a lot of resistance to the light here, so it's an interesting assignment, I must say.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you observed that humanity's consciousness is, in fact, shifting?
Could you repeat that, please?
For a long time.
Gina, could you repeat that, please?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was just saying, you've been doing this for a long time. Are your observations indicating to you that, in fact, humanity's consciousness is shifting? Is there something going on here?
It is shifting. It is shifting. Many things are happening, but we don't always see them. So you have to really feel it. Yes, it is shifting, slowly but surely. Consciousness is shifting. Sometimes we see it more noticeable than other times. Recently it shifts and moves. You know, every week, every day is different. But yes, it is shifting toward the light. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, many of our listeners are interested in the Mayan calendar, and that was sort of the sense of urgency in the novel, Flying Between Heaven and Earth. How do your experiences with the light correlate with the timeline within the Mayan calendar? That there, in fact, is a new consciousness that will be awakening on the Earth sometime, you know, depending on who you listen to, you know, 2011, 2012, or even beyond that.
Yes, the Mayan calendar, the brilliant science of the Mayans are, you know, really quite profound that you would bring, that you would speak about the Mayan work and their science and geometry. And yes, a lot of signs were pointing towards 2011, 2012 being a pivotal time in terms of movement of consciousness, as you say. What I have received is that there has been some changes to that prophecy, some, in a sense, a new plan has been brought forth and come down, because it does seem as if humanity generally won't be ready for that consciousness shift. So I think my impression is that there will be certainly a shift then, a powerful shift, but not what was originally planned, because it does seem as if we, generally, it seems as if we're not ready for that, a big shift. There's just not enough of us ready, Gina.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you.
I would agree with that. Well, we talk about that frequently. Now, what about the, is there anything that you know as far as what may or may not happen when we have the galactic alignment in 2012 as far as the Milky Way galaxy and our sun and the alignment that will occur with that? Frequencies or energies or consciousness or light that's going to be brought into the planet to maybe help us move to the next level?
Well, I think we're certainly in for a few surprises, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be some powerful alignments that will occur, just to, from what you mentioned, that at that time. But I feel that there's a constant flux of change, and that's why it's so difficult to make a prophecy nowadays, because there's so much changing and shifting. It'd be difficult for me to say right now I what would happen then, but. There will no doubt be some wonderful movements of energy, of vibration, of consciousness, and frankly speaking, they're most welcome. But I also think that we have to be very focused, not only on what will happen in the future, but also we have to be very focused on now, you know, today, right now, because we can make tremendous shifts in this moment. Which, of course, helps set up future timelines and future shifts as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, in your talks, you refer to the lower self obstacles that limit the amount of light that humanity is able to access. And you've written that many light workers also have fear of the light. What can you say to that? What do you think that is, and what differences can light workers see in their lives if they were able to actually clear this fear that they have?
Okay. The lower self, I'm not so sure that it's really a lower self, or, you know, lower self, higher self, it's all connected. So, in a sense, the ego is divine as well. It just hasn't realized that it's divine. And, of course, when it does, then it there is no ego. So that in a sense, is what I'm referring to, that bringing the light to the ego and bringing peace to the mind is part of the transformational process. It's part of the healing. And as Jesus said, an entity who doesn't understand the workings of the ego is like a helpless child, in a sense. And it seems that there's still a lot of work to do, because the ego mind is still, having difficulty, of course, accepting and embracing and surrendering to the light. That's going to take some time, of course, for that healing to take place on a general level. But certainly it is achievable. But what I do see a lot, and certainly I see this in spiritual communities as well as in humanity generally, is there still is quite a lot of fear of the light, and I think in many, this is part of the fear is quite old. It's like it goes back many, many lifetimes. It's because people that have served the light before in previous lifetimes, you know, it hasn't worked out so well in terms of that they've had to sacrifice a lot, or that it's been quite difficult. You know, a lot of struggle, sacrifice, suffering in terms of serving the light. And if we look back through periods of history, we see there's been a lot of persecution of those who have served the light. And of course, that those memories are housed within the cellular system, and quite difficult to get through that sometimes. And I see that a lot of spiritual light workers, healers, therapists. You can see the fear comes, and it's often very old. So how do you heal that? Well, you allow it to be healed through love, through allowing yourself to fall further and further in love with your inner self, with the light, and knowing that the light will, you know, things have changed now. It's a different paradigm. It's a new time. Therefore, there's a lot more protection and a lot more strength available to us now. But the suffering and the fear, Gina, is generally what I see is it's very old. And we have to realize that the steps we take now, they may be small, but they can be very significant. So just it's about being very, very gentle with the fear, giving the fear a lot of love, a lot of holding it, really, as you would hold a child. And slowly but surely, the fear will dissipate.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day, of course, it becomes dust. But you have to be very gentle with it. It's not something that you could. It's not a kind of fear that you can push around or try to get rid of or anything. You have to be very, very gentle with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And for those of you that want to call in and ask a question of Atori or Gina, the number you can call in on is area 530-876-9026 or 530-876-3223. You're listening to BBS Late Night, Flying Higher with Gina E. Jones.
Yes, and we also have some contact information for Atori. You have a website, www.newdiamond.org. www.newdiamond.org.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
There's more information there about your tour, and you can also go to www.samurai-of-light.com and also have your upcoming schedule on that website as well. And we do invite listeners to call in. Now, I want to get back to you, with you, Atori, about a term that many people use, and maybe for listeners who are just now finding out about some of the metaphysics and stuff, we use the term light workers. Who is a light worker, or how do you know if you are one, if someone's now just awakening to this and is feeling called but not sure, is this what they are, and what is it that they do as a light worker?
No, a light worker is a very, well, another term for healer. A light worker is someone who's conscious about serving, serving their brothers and sisters, serving humanity. A light worker is someone who goes about to offer grace, to offer love, peace, harmony. It can be anyone. It's like, who are the chosen ones? The chosen ones are those that choose to be chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, everyone is a light worker, just that some have realized it and are conscious of it. Some have yet to realize it. But in a sense, everyone is a light worker.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another phrase for healer, teacher, guide, someone who chooses to give their love, it's someone who chooses to give their love to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, for the ones who have been able to, you know, recognize their role and their service here, and they're clearing out this fear, is this what you mean when you use this term, a new time for a new consciousness? Is that what we're doing? Is this what you mean by that, the term, that, again, is the theme of our program tonight, a new time for new consciousness?
Yes, that's exactly right. I think you've put it in a very succinct way there. It is time. I think on, you know, one level, people are quite bored now with the status quo. They're bored with the construct that we've been operating in terms of third dimension is, it isn't really moving, and the lack of creativity is creating quite a lot of constriction. So people are definitely, I'm sure, you know, ready to embrace higher fields of light and therefore to expand consciousness. And, this is all part of the change that's been written, as you said. You know, the prophecies, the timing leading up to 2011, 2012, and we're in a very, very much so a transformational time. And part of that, of course, is the upliftment or the illumination of consciousness. And it's time for new creativity. It's time for new paradigms, new belief systems. And most important, it's time for more love. It's time for new love, higher love, or what is called the love above the love. And that it will be the love above the love that brings through this new consciousness that will infuse us, inspire us, and illuminate our consciousness, brother to brother, sister to sister, and in general.
What is it that someone can do, because we're obviously in these physical bodies, but is there something that we can do to ground ourselves so that we can truly anchor the light that is available to us at
this
time? Is there a
physical thing? That's a magic word you just used.
I beg your pardon?
Grounding, yep.
Yes. Is there
grounding
that we can do on the physical level?
Yes. The importance of ritual cannot be overstated. In terms of grounding, I think great that you brought it up, and very, very important because of people have schedules, people have responsibilities, and sometimes the schedules get quite busy. The importance of being grounded, vital really, and so daily rituals of exercise, breathing, can be quite simple, help a lot, because also too the atmosphere can be quite frenetic and things going on around us can make it quite difficult to stay grounded. So this is where yoga or tai chi or walking or these kind of exercises come into it. Take with ritual the first 30 minutes of the day, the first hour of the day, and the last 30 minutes, the last 4 hours of the day. Those are the times when we can connect to our inner self, connect to the earth, and focus on being grounded. That's quite a tricky one, that one. It does require, we have to play with it, be aware of it, and I find, too, that it's helpful to move very slowly in order to stay grounded. Sometimes even just slowing down can be very helpful. But the key, of course, is ritual. And the more ritual we have, the easier it is to stay grounded.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when we were speaking earlier about the different places on the planet or certain areas that you could see, is there one place more specifically as far as all around the globe that you feel like there is more light present at this time?
Well, of course there are sacred areas, places, power places that are holding a lot of light still. Let me see. I'm just attempting to look at some areas that are quite close to you. You've got the Mayan or the Mexican pyramids in Mexico. There's a lot of light down there. Machu Picchu, there's extraordinary light there. You've got Northern California, too. There are areas where the light is very strong. Of course, there's more obvious places such as Egypt and southern France. It's quite possible to find, you know, these powerful places of light in many, many different countries. Of course, some some easy to find, some not so easy to find. But also, too, one must be mindful that whatever step you take, wherever you are, that's also sacred, and you can manifest extraordinary life wherever you are. You don't necessarily have to be in one of these places to do that. But I would say, just generally, that probably right now France and Egypt are very, very strong in terms of this new light.
Well, we're continually talking about light and
yes,
this whole conversation, but the other side of that is the dark. Can you shed some light on the dark as far as your interpretation or what you've been shared with you through the masters or through the elders?
Yes.
What is it that we're working with? Is in the yin yang, in the Chinese symbol, the balance of the light and the dark. What is the dark as far as your understanding?
The dark force. Yes. Wow. You're very insightful. That's another important point that you've raised. In third dimension, Gina, we have duality, yeah? As you say, we've got the yin and yang. So in third dimension, there is duality. We have free will, we have duality, and on this level, we also have what is called the dark, or the dark force, as Luke Skywalker termed it. And of course, the darkness is connected to an intelligence that seeks to control and dominate. So, and it doesn't really understand love and is afraid to surrender to it. So, and if it's not going to surrender to it, then it doesn't want, this darkness doesn't want us, or doesn't want humanity to surrender to the light either. So this is the opposing force to the light. This is why it's so important to stay grounded, to stay connected to the light, because the further inside the light are, the less one is able you're much less affected by it, of course. But it is around. We see manifestations of it on a daily basis, and I don't even need to talk about that to you. I mean, that's quite obvious. As you enter into more and more light, you are less and less interfered with, and of course, this helps you in your work. It helps you manifest. It's very, very important for your own personal health, but also it enables you to serve your family and the people around you on a greater level too. The focus has to be more on the light and much less on that which is not of the light. So it's quite a big subject, and sometimes people don't really want to go near it. Sometimes even people say, well, there is no such thing. It's all part of it. Everything's connected. But in third dimension, yes, there is a dark force. And, the less said about it, the better, really, at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wonder...
But if you want to... Can I just say one more thing about that?
Of course, yes.
If people really want to see how that operates, how that intelligence operates, they should look at the Matrix movies, number one and number two. Because those two movies actually depict how it operates in this dimension very, very well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm actually amazed those movies got through the system the way they did. But they're a very good explanation without me having to go over and over it.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is these forces that be that are sort of, I think, in some ways battling over humanity. And a lot of that stuff is in scripture that, we've read, Archangel Michael and Lucifer are fighting over the destiny of humanity.
Yes.
Or that there's some, dark force and light force that are, that really is within all of us. It's, you see little depictions of this in movies and TV shows where they've got the little devil on one shoulder on somebody as they're trying to decide what to do, and the little angel on the other side, going, yeah,
that's
do
right.
this, do this. No, don't do that. So there's that balance of the light and dark, I think, in all of us, and so I guess we've got to
figure out. Yes, but it's about bringing that part of us that's, you know, it's about bringing the part of us that's not yet into light. It's about bringing that into the light, and so eventually you become all light. And that is the journey to become fully self-realized as a being of light. And this is really, you know, the essence of our journey here. And well, it does take time and patience, perseverance, and as I said before, a great deal of love, more and more love, prayer, faith, simplicity, and it can be done. It's certainly achievable.
Well, as these shifts in the intensity of the light in all these different places around the planet, and especially at the sacred sites are occurring, I know that you lead an initiatory trip of sorts to Egypt each year. And have you actually seen energies shifting there? And do you think that as we get closer to 2011, 2012, that you'll see people actually, you know, sort of flocking to these areas, looking for guidance or higher powers or higher energy or more light in the years ahead?
Well, people generally will be turning towards the more sacred aspects of light, not only in travel, but also, of course, within themselves. And people do experience very powerful healing, transformation, upliftment, illumination in Egypt. Certainly, I've seen it many times, and it continues. That's one of the reasons why so many people go there, of course, because of the amount of light there. Same too for France, and for many other areas too around the planet. Of course, in Egypt, it's possible to get through the portals, fifth-dimensional portals, which is why do people go on these sacred trips, because you can take a group of people and place them inside the fifth dimension and keep them there for you know, quite some time, up to a week, and that in itself is a very powerful experience. Well, it's really once in a lifetime that kind of experience happens, or life changing. So, yeah, that can be done in a seminar. You can also have a similar experience in a park or in a sacred valley, or you could be walking down a beach and you could see a whale or a dolphin, and you'll have a similar kind of experience. You know, God has many different ways of talking to us. So, sometimes you can have a beautiful consciousness-changing moment. Listening to children play or listening to children sing, or can be something often quite simple. The sacred tours to these sacred sites are very powerful. And people are, of course, looking for new experiences. That's part of it, too, yes.
Now, you're also doing a sacred tour in France this year. Is this because of the rise of the divine feminine that's on Earth? And of course, we've saw and read about some of that in the Da Vinci Code, and certainly a lot of attention brought to that part of the world through that book and through the movie. Is that why you're in France right now?
Yes, the Tour de France is going to be focused on the teachings and the life and teachings of Magdalene. And there are a lot of sacred sites, caves and churches and certain valleys and areas, and particularly in the south, where the work that Magdalene and many of those that were with her did during their ministry of love, their ministry of light. And she has a very big presence here, and even in Paris, you know, her presence is very strong. And the light down here, and certainly in the south, is a particular brilliance which you don't find in many other areas of the planet, which is why artists come here and do their work. They go to the south and they paint, it's, you know, because of the light, but it is because of the light, it has a certain resonance, and connecting to that divine feminine, which is really the essence of it. again, you know, very powerful, very moving, and something which it's an opportunity to really to open the heart to the Divine Feminine, which as you said,
there, so we'll get him back on the line. Again, Tori is travels globally as a teacher, a speaker, a writer, a healer, and a spiritual counselor. Tori operates as a transmitter of universal love, and as you've heard this evening, he certainly is committed 100% to this as a messenger. He is doing a tour currently in France, and we'll be getting back in touch with Tori in just a few moments.
Gina, maybe what I can do in the meantime is share with our listeners some upcoming events and guests that you have on your show. And in the meantime, the show is from La Ville de Lumière, from Paris, the City of Light, with Tori. Next Sunday, the 1st of April, we'll have Robert Lee Camp as Gina's guest. Robert Lee Camp, he's Mr. Destiny, he's known as, and he'll share with us some information about the cards of destiny. What he'll share will surely amaze and enlighten you, and Robert will even explain how everyone can get real answers for some of their important life questions. He has two books that he's published, and Gina will be sharing some thoughts with him. And then the following Sunday, on the 8th of April, Joyce Reynolds joins Gina, and Joyce blends the true nature of success by giving you an understanding of both the metaphysical and physical, and also interprets the spiritual laws as well, ultimately that can bring you the happiness, fulfillment, and success that you deserve. So some very, very exciting guests coming up with Gina on Flying Higher. The following Sunday, April 15th, the day before tax day, if you're living in the U.S., Dr. Susan Shumsky is Gina's guest, and Dr. Shumsky has done more than 400 speaking engagements all over the world and is very well known and published in different publications, for instance, Women's World Magazine and Cosmopolitan and so forth. So she'll be joining Gina on the 15th of April. And Gina, back to you.
Okay. Well, Tori is our guest this evening, and
Gina, now we did lose the guest from Europe.
Okay.
Hello, and I just tried to get him back, and I'm trying. But in the meantime, you do have a caller.
Okay.
That I put on the air with you.
Yes, of course.
Caller.
Welcome to Flying Higher.
Oh, thank you. I have a question for Tori. He had mentioned the Da Vinci Code movie, and I was curious to know what his understanding was as to the truth that, or how true was the movie in terms of Jesus having had more children and that whole piece of the story.
Okay, well, Tori is, we're trying to get Tori back on the line right now, so we will be glad to ask him that question once he's back with us. Hold on just a moment, and we'll get Tori back on the phone. Again, Tori's website is www.newdiamond.org. You can go to his website and see, get more information about his tour here in Southern California. You can also go to www.samurai-of-light.com, samuraioflight.com. And also, there's Tori's schedule is also on our website, which is www.flying-higher.com. Tori has several books and has CDs of meditation to help bring in the light into our lives, tools for an enlightenment, a different series.
Tori is back with us now.
Okay, great. Tori, we have a caller on the line that was asking a question about some of the information in the Da Vinci Code. Is the caller still on the line?
I am.
Okay. Tori's with us. Go ahead and direct your question to Tori. Thank you.
Tori, you had mentioned the movie The Da Vinci Code, and I was kind of curious to know from your understanding, from your connections with the brethren or the higher people. What exactly? The truth of the movie, as far as Jesus is having had more children, is that part true, or was that just kind of Hollywood makeup stuff?
No, that was not Hollywood makeup stuff. When Magdalene arrived in Marseille, she was pregnant, and yes, they did have children.
So is there any way, will we ever know, and is there any significance to there being any direct descendants possibly still living on the earth, and is that of any significance to humanity at any level?
I think it's certainly very significant that people know that Jesus and Magdalene were married and that they had children. I think that is, of course, very significant because it changes the whole paradigm of Christianity and its origins. However, in terms of bloodlines and so forth, it's important that you realize that we all realize that, you know, everyone's bloodline is holy. Everyone is a king, everyone is a queen unto themselves, and that's how the light sees you. So from that point, I think not so significant, but from the origins and from the point of view of holy matrimony and their bond, yes, very important.
Right.
But you are a queen too, yes?
I am indeed.
You are indeed.
I guess the bigger point is certainly the fact that, you know, that this information has just not been available to us. And you're right, that would be the profound revelation, because it would shift the very foundation of all Christianity and the way it was based.
That's right, and it would also take away a lot of the power from the old structures, which in fact would be very good. So, yes, on that level, very significant, my dear, yes.
Yes, great. Well, thank you for answering my questions.
Oh, thank you for your call.
All right. Okay, and Tori, welcome back.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, it seems though that there's a lot of upheaval and a lot of things as the light being shed on a lot of information and energies on the planet. And I've noticed this even in relationships. And,
yes.
According to the information I've learned in the Mayan calendar, the energy that we're in right now does not support power and dominance over other people, but also not on just only in relationships, but I think in business and in governments that we're going to see some shifting and some changing. What are your observations on this as far as the spiritual awakening?
Yes, the relationship question is it's a big one. A lot of upheaval, a lot of shifting. People become get closer and closer to themselves and realize more of their own truth, then of course that's going to shift and change the way they relate to others. People are looking now, they want a relationship that's more real, more grounded, and certainly more heart-based. And as we talked a little before about the rise of the divine feminine, then of course a woman generally now, what I see is that they're taking back their power and are not prepared to settle for anything less than that full exchange, you know, heart to heart. And that has caused a lot of upheaval, yes. But the upheavals we're seeing in relationships and the change in terms of how we relate to people generally, be that employers or people in the field, and business, and certainly in government, it is all part of it. Again, it's transformation. And sometimes it's a little bit difficult, a little bit dramatic, perhaps. But it's all part of it, and this is why it's so important to stay very true to ourselves, to our heart. That way we can be sure that the relationships we do enter into are going to be authentic and very powerful. And that, of course, means not compromising on the truth that we feel from within. And that's creating a lot of upheaval, too, because this is what is happening. This is what is happening for people. So it's wonderful, but at the same time, very difficult, yes.
Mm-hmm. But my understanding is that the divine feminine is not necessarily like a feminist movement or just something for women, but it's the feminine as well in man, that there is a rise in that as well, that men are becoming more aware of their feelings and that there's more of a balance in that and that there is a shift in, within man himself, himself, whatever term you want to use. Is that your understanding as well?
Well, I would agree. It's not a feminist movement per se. It's more, it's the rise of the goddess, the priestess, the sacred Sophia, the Miriam, Magdalene. That it's very important that that energy, the priestess, is allowed to, you know, that she is allowed to stand and stand beside the divine male, of course. So on that level, it's very important. But also, too, as you say, it's also about men surrendering and opening their heart and allowing the divine feminine within them to rise up, too. That is also part of the changes. And, well, as you say, that's going to be a very important movement too, because eventually, of course, we will have equality. We'll have the divine male and the divine female standing hand in hand, and so there are some balances and some shifting that's required to take place for both women and men. And this is happening too. I think it seems to be happening at a faster pace for women than for men. Perhaps that's there's something divine in that, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand you also, and I've had the chance to experience some of your CDs that you have that help in meditation. You even have one that's dedicated to soulmates. It's called The Sacred Wedding. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful gift to help a lot of relationships and a lot of people to understand that they may be on this journey with someone else, that we're not necessarily on a journey by ourselves. And it's a place, you know, where we can have trust and healing within the relationship.
No, I think it's important for people to... Well, I was instructed or informed that it was very important to create that CD, and it's important for people to know that they don't have to be alone, that there are soulmates there for them. And, you know, to manifest a soulmate is not necessarily that difficult, but the key, of course, is to love you. It's not about looking or searching so much. It's more about the more you love you, the more inside yourself you become. And, of course, you attract, you become the magnetic force which brings the love to you. And that quite often comes in the shape of a soulmate. So, a meditation is created and some discourse, some beautiful music, and the response I've had from that particular CD, people seem to really like it. So, it's a pleasure to serve in that way, and it will help me too, of course, because by contemplating the field of soulmates, I was able to come into my own realization of the nature of it, and so for me too it was very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad that people were able to receive that, the vibration of that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And also one of the other CDs that you have is about a Stargate meditation. I was at a group earlier today that I lead, and we were talking about Stargates and how there are these interdimensional portals, and we've seen this, of course, on TV series, the Stargate TV series and movie and other things like that. Do you see that these are necessarily, Stargates are necessarily at the sacred sites, or is there a connection there, or is this something totally different?
Well, my understanding is that there is a connection, but primarily they are something different. The Stargate, you can create, you can create your own Stargate by doing a certain meditation, or as you said, you come together in a group and you can go through one on that level. It's slightly, slightly different wisdom genome. So not directly connected to two sacred sites, but just looking for the right kind of context to give it to you in.
Okay.
Very useful. A stargate is like a portal, very useful for accessing higher levels of light and what is called cosmic consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that these are even given information that these stargates will in fact open naturally when we approach 2011, 2012, that these stargates, these portals will actually be revealed here on the planet for those who are of that level to ascend and to go to a higher dimension or who are
prepared? No doubt. Some will be made available. Some are available now, actually. And more will be made available to those who are ready to receive that level of light. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be a continuing, evolving process, I would say.
Right. But there's a phrase that's in Scripture that many are called and few are chosen. Is that when some of this will take place through this Stargate and this awakening?
We'll have to see. Yes.
Your website is called New Diamond, and you also have a book about diamond people, or a CD about diamond people. Can you explain? I don't think you're talking about just the diamonds for jewelry or anything. Maybe you could explain a little bit more about why you use that term diamond for your website and for your book.
Well, the diamond, the symbol of the diamond, the six-pointed diamond, was given to me from the elders. It's a symbol for humanity to utilize in terms of connection to the light. The symbol itself enables people to connect to, well, the elders, to the source, to the light, to the Galactic Federation. The symbol also provides a lot of protection and a lot of it's also a very grounding kind of symbol. The diamond itself represents the divine male, and the ankh, the Egyptian ankh, the cross in the center of the diamond represents the divine female. So it's very well balanced, which of course is important for us too as we, as we walk this journey. The diamond people is really about our journey from where we are now and into the light and into the future with the light. The diamond people, of course, refers to any person who chooses to step toward the light. So the reason I call it that is because that is how the elders see everyone that is working with the light. Humanity is like, you know, billions of diamonds. So we are looked upon as diamonds of light, you know. So that's kind of the title. Was just interesting how it came. I had another title for the book, and right up until the last moment, I had another title, and then just all of a sudden, I was walking down the street, and I thought, "Aha! It's the diamond people. It's about the diamond people, the diamond within ourselves, the heart, the essence of us, which is the essence of God." So it was very kind of revealing for me too, in the sense of writing the book. And we're all diamonds. It's just we haven't quite come into the realization of our own diamond consciousness, Gina.
Mm-hmm.
But it is happening slowly but surely. You are in fact the diamond consciousness of God.
Right.
Which is lovely, isn't it?
Well, I've always known that I had something to do with diamonds because I'm an Aries, and that's my birth stone. So I've always
had something to do with
diamonds. Now, you are in Paris, and in reading your book, The Diamond People, you refer to a warlord whose sword became the sword of light and a sword of compassion, and you'd say that you see him in a lot of places there in Paris, and he's known as Count Saint Germain. Did you want to share anything with our listeners about this being who is?
Well, he was he was very instrumental here, and he has been in service, and particularly in America too, which I'm sure that you and many of your listeners know about. In Europe, he was very active here for a couple of hundred years, particularly. And in France, with the royalty here, the royalty throughout Europe, Saint Germain, in my own personal experience, has been, well, from time to time, you know, he pops up in the most unusual moments when I'm never expecting him. He gives me an assignment. The Diamond People was one of those assignments. And he, of course, used to wear a lot of diamonds on his hands. He used to have, I think he was quite a thing, but he liked to look good. He liked the shoes. He liked the clothing. When he was walking around the streets here, you know, everything had to be just right. And of course, lots of diamonds on his hands. Quite the looker, apparently. And of course, he's this master dedicated to serving humanity and dedicated to freedom. I think that's his cause, freedom, and bringing about freedom from limitation. And the work that he's done on so many different levels for such a long time, we could talk about this particular master for days, weeks, months, years.
Right.
But even now, you know, he, of course, is working with many different groups, many different people around the globe, and very, very active. And what can you say about such a master? You know, it's the service that he has given to humanity is beyond words.
Yeah, I know there's quite a few people that claim to channel Saint Germain and bring forth his messages.
I'm quite sure that he's aligned to various different groups and certain individuals. He's an omnipresent field of vibration, so it's possible for him to be in many different places at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he's able to serve in different ways.
And I think that what's important, too, something that you brought up in your other book, Know You Know, that I really liked was the fact that, again, sort of reflecting back onto the church and onto scriptures as you bring forth, and this is, it's the letting go of the old ways is of paramount importance. The kingdom of sovereignty exists in the now, not in your past. The unity is in the now, and I think that is something that is important for people to implement in their lives on many, many levels, but to sort of let go of some of that. A lot of people carry so much of the past into the reality now, and it's old. it's history. It's old, and yet it remains so divisive, and people use that to judge everybody in their behavior. Is there anything that you would like to add to that, or something that you see?
Yes, one thing that came through as you were talking, Gina, is very important, and I think this is especially so for people in your nation, in America, and certainly in Los Angeles, it's time and part of a new consciousness that we've been discussing in the new light and expanding into this consciousness. Part of that, of course, is not giving your power away to any other system other than the system of love, which is already inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and in the past, I think what has happened is that a lot of the times, you know, we've given our power away to a certain teacher or to a certain book or a certain system, or it could be to the government or something, but what is important is to, if you're going to give our power away, give your power away to the light, give it away to God. That, of course, is inside of you. When you do that, anything is possible. And past paradigms, we have not claimed the sovereignty. This is what I'm talking about the power of light. When you claim it like that, in the sense that you give yourself away to this light, which is both inside and outside, then it's all yours. Everything becomes, you become connected to everything, most particularly to yourself, and that's how we manifest inner peace. And, so when we talk about letting go of old programs, I think the program of letting of giving away our power to something outside of ourselves really has to be dropped, and the sooner the better. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you, in your book it says that, you know, that it requires a discipline and a focus to become joyous and peaceful. And I think as we, you know, sort of look back at our lives and the way we think, and in the history that's been brought in through our families or through generations or traditions, that if we can in fact do that and focus on that and releasing that, we will become more joyous and peaceful. A lot of those things that we bring forth are actually quite confining and binding, and in some ways, you know, at some level they're not right. They're not true
yeah,
to the nature of who
correct. We
are.
That's correct. You can feel it. You can always feel when something is not working, or if it doesn't sit right. It doesn't really matter what the belief is or the program is. You know, you will always feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as you say, you know, if it's not resonating, you'll know on some level, and that's why staying very close to our feelings, and as we've talked, and as you said, staying grounded is so important, because that's how we can discern what is real and what is not, through our feeling center, and that requires us to be quite grounded in order to do that.
Well, that's true.
That's how we discern it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that other people can call it intuition or their gut instinct, things like that. Of course, those were things that people were burned at the stake for centuries ago. So.
That's right. Yeah.
Evolved
That's
through
right.
that and have come through that, I guess. So the importance is that happiness is the focus on the beam of light that resonates in our heart, and to follow our own instincts.
Absolutely. And keep it really simple. You know, keep it really simple. Remove complexity from your life as much as possible. This will help
mm-hmm.
tremendously as well.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, simple, simple.
Right. Again, for the listeners who are just joining us, this is Flying Higher, and we have Atori with us, and we're talking about the power of light, a new time for a new consciousness. So I know I'm certainly one who is ready for that. And again, we're so pleased to have you with us this evening, Atori, or this morning over for you in Paris.
Oh, thank you. Very pleased to be with you.
Yes. Just to sort of... summarize everything. We've talked about several things, and certainly have learned a lot. And I admire you for your mission and how you have embraced this and are going forth, doing your work around the planet and helping all of us to recognize who we really are, and to help awaken us to what's ahead. Is there anything that you feel like is the most important thing, or is there a certain message that you would like our listeners to take away from this discussion we've had this evening?
Mm. Okay. Good question. Your questions are very, very powerful questions, my dear. Yes, I would urge people to... you know, if you're going to search inside of yourself, if you want to make peace, if you want to manifest peace, make peace within yourself, the most important is the vibration of love, to give ourselves more and more to love. There's no limit to the amount of love that we can receive, and so therefore to open to this energy through prayer, through faith, through purification, through simplicity, by opening yourself to the love above the love, then eventually you're going to find yourself in the promised land. And you'll be able to do this simply without too much analysis, without too many questions, without having to see too many people. It's like for us right now, humanity, individually and collectively, it's the time, part of this new consciousness is for us to stand naked in front of God and to say, okay, here I am, and I'm ready to listen, I'm ready to love, you and, you know, help show me the way. It's, we all have to do this by ourselves at some point. That's the teachings of Magdalene, that's the teachings of Jesus and many of the other masters. And this can be done simply through love, by love, and with love. And that is what I would like to say mm-hmm. to you right now.
Well, I think that's very, very inspiring for all of us. And I know it's a lot of times it's easier said than done, and putting it into action certainly some days is more difficult than others. But that truly
is. That's true.
Yes, it is
difficult. Some days are difficult. Some days are beautiful. Other days are. It's we have to go really slowly with it, and that's all part of the difficulty here in third dimension. But also too, we should realize that God, the elders, the source of life, they know that it's difficult, and you know this is where the prayer comes into it, because it will be difficult from time to time. But it can be done, Gina. It is achievable.
Mhm. No, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, we've had Atori with us this evening. For those of you just joining us, Atori is 100% dedicated to a service of assisting all of us here. He's anchoring light within ourselves and doing so around the planet. He's currently in Paris right now and joining us live here on BBS Radio Late Night on Flying Higher. And obviously, if you've listened to our program tonight, you can tell that he does this without ego and without pretense. And again, he's traveled from South America, Southeast Asia, the Pacific, and currently he's in Europe. And he is a transmitter of universal love, and that's something that we all aspire to and would like to bring forth in our lives each and every day, so that we can move forward to a new time and a new consciousness. And we've already gone over our lineup for this week, and so I would like to invite all our listeners to take the information that Atori has shared with us and the love that he has shared with us, and to use this to fly higher in the week ahead. And we ask that you please join us here at BBS Radio Late Night on Flying Higher next Sunday at 7:30 Pacific Time. And blessings to each and every one of you. And Tori, we really enjoyed having you on the show this evening, and we'd like to invite you back. So
thank you, Gina. God bless you. And it's been a privilege to be able to speak with you tonight. And I would certainly look forward to another time to do that, and God bless everyone in your city and indeed your nation.
Well, thank you very much. We need all the prayers we can get. So thank you again, and good evening. And again, I hope everybody can fly higher this week as we move forward to a new time for a new consciousness. Thank you, and good night.